We're going to read from Deuteronomy 4, verses 32 to 40 this morning. For ask of the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders and by war, by a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might discipline you. And on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence, by his great power, driving you out before nations greater and mightier than yourselves to bring you in, to give their land for inheritance as it is this day, know therefore today and lay it on your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore, you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command to you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time.
Well, please keep Deuteronomy 4 open, and let's pray. Now, Father, we come before you now. We ask you to speak your word into our life. And may what I say be true to your word. Give me the voice to say it. And may it bring glory to your name, joy to your people, and salvation to those who are not yet yours. Amen. Well, I have had a great week until getting sick. Although all the news of what's happening to other Christians around the world does trouble me. But the week's been great. Three nights in the city, 4 days at Oxygen with so many other Christians and pastors at Oxygen. Young and old, in God's Word for the week, looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. Seeing there the glory of God. It's been so good to get a glimpse of the glory of God, to get a bigger picture of Jesus, and to see what it is that we're part of, God's story, which if you're a believer, you're now part of. We live in God's world, like everyone else, but those trusting in Jesus are also part of God's kingdom. So if you were here last week, and hopefully you were, maybe you were out teaching kids' church, we started to see that bigger picture of God and what we're part of as his people today. That's one of the things that Deuteronomy will do for us. Expanding our mind, our view of God, and hopefully move us to worship him with all of our life. Because our life in this world is to be different now that we are part of the kingdom of God as well. Now, one of the things that has stayed with me this last week from the earlier part of Deuteronomy 4, I don't know if that happens with you, that something stays with you, or a line, a verse. But for me, it's been the privilege of God revealing his will. Israel, they were at the base of Mount Sinai, while Moses was up the top receiving God's will for them. But then the word of God comes in the flesh, in the person Jesus. Not just mediated through that one man, Moses, it's now embodied in one man, in Jesus, God in the flesh. That is extraordinary. That's what has really stayed with me this week. The Word revealed for us, Jesus, not only revealed, but now God Himself embodied in the flesh. And here's the thing, for some of us, maybe all of us at times, it's like we're happy to stay below the base of the mountain and listen to Moses, when we can now, if you like, go up the top of the mountain. We can hear the words, or read it as words of God, but just words. But the Word has become flesh. So we now have the revealed will of God in the person Jesus. So we can know Him personally. So it's so much more than just the law or words that we read. We have the Word in the flesh revealed to us. And so that's one of the things that has stayed with me this week from what we looked at last week. Just how incredible that is. Jesus, in Him, we have the Word, we have the revealed will of God. We move on this morning to what Catherine read for us, this last bit in Deuteronomy 4. This is the final part of Moses' first sermon in Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy, it's really three sermons. This is the conclusion, if you like, to the first sermon. And so far in this chapter we've seen the Lord God is the only God we should worship. And so the response from last week, there are to be no idols, no idolatry. And in these verses we see the Lord God is the only God. And what do you think the response will be? We'll come to that. Well, the history lesson, if you like, begins in verse 32. But it isn't like the history lessons that I remember back at school. This is an invitation to look back all the way to creation. I remember a school excursion. We went down to Canberra and we went up the tower on Black Mountain, and we were told on a nice clear sunny day at the top of that tower, if you look really carefully, you could see Uluru. Now obviously that wasn't true. Here, they had a look back all the way to creation itself. Have a look at verse 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on this earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes? So three questions are asked there. Has anything so great as this ever happened or ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire and lived? Has any other God dared do what God has done, taking for himself one nation out of another in such an awesome way? What God has done for the Israelites is unique. Never been done before, never been heard of, and there's a reason for that. He is God, there is no other. Now that's the point being made here. The Lord God is the only God. He is in a class all of his own. That's what verse 35 says. He's not like Usain Bolt, who is the best in his field. Usain, he is in a class all of his own. But before him was who? Safa Powell, Donovan Bailey, Carl Lewis, and others. And there'll be someone will come after Usain and run faster. Right, so he's in a class of his own at the moment, but there have been others, and there will be others to come who will run faster. God, he's not just the best of all gods. This is saying he is the only God. He's literally in a class all of his own, for there is no other in his class. The Lord is God. Beside him there is no other. Now I know that that's not a popular message today. And it probably wasn't back then either. But that didn't stop Moses from declaring it to be true. There is no other. There is no other. There is no other. Schools. There's a whole number of them. All good, or most of them good. Football teams, whole number of football teams, football codes. Milk, how many different types of milk are there? Low fat, no fat, full cream, high calcium, high protein, soy, light, skim, omega 3, high calcium with vitamin D and folate and an extra dollop. And the guy just wants milk. And with God, that's what we have. We have God. One God. There is no other. There is no other. There is no other. There are other religions, but there is no other God. The one God. Father, sorry. There are other religions, but there is no other God. Verse 35 says, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Beside him, there is no other. Then have a look at verses 36, 38, and that parallels, it picks up on the three questions from earlier, showing what God has done for them. Listen to these and see how it parallels the three questions. Verse 36, from heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you for your inheritance, as it is today. And then verse 39 makes the same point as verse 35. The Lord God is the only God. Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. So I said before that I've been in John's Gospel for a big part of this week just gone. And the purpose of John's Gospel, we're told what it is. Right at the end, in chapter 20, we're told why John's Gospel was written. We're told, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. Now, I don't know if you've read John's Gospel lately, but it is amazing. the truth, what is said in John's Gospel. Jesus, time after time, shows that he is God. He comes to reveal God. He is God. He shows God's glory, whether it's by turning water into wine, feeding the 5,000, giving sight to the blind. He reveals the glory of God. All the I am statements in John's Gospel, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the true vine, I am the resurrection and the life. These are essentially claims to be God, that Jesus is God, that he does only what God can do. He says that he's doing the work of the Father. He says that he and the Father are one. And he says if you know him, you know the Father. The Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Now, that's pretty hard to get your head around, isn't it? One God, but in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is big. That is mind-blowing to think just how that can be. But this is God. So, like, it does mess with our head, and we can struggle to really understand it. It is beyond our understanding. My brain is only wee small. We can't expect to comprehend the fullness of God. He's God. We are not. It might be beyond human understanding how God can be three in one, but it is not beyond human acceptance. Not when you see who Jesus is, what he says, and what he does. The Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus dies. He's God in the flesh. He dies. That is staggering. God become man. He dies. He's raised to life again. Even more staggering. And he's given all authority. All authority in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. Not a lot of authority, all authority. He's been given it. How? Why? Because he is God. There is no other. Just stop and pause for a moment. Take that in. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no other. Just stop and listen. What do you hear? Buzz, sound of kids, maybe footsteps. Rustling. God, our God is over it all. He is over everything. There is no other. He is God, and he rules over everything. Everything in the world today. Everything happening outside these four walls. God rules over it all. Isn't that comforting to know? With everything going on in the world at the moment, isn't it good to know that our God is over it all. Despite the atrocities in Iraq and other places at the moment, he rules over it all. How many years did US forces try to take control? It hasn't taken long, has it, for things to come crashing down. Isn't it comforting for Anita and Tim with their Sally, born 5 weeks preemie? Isn't it comforting for them to know that God, He knows and He rules over it all? This is our God. What's the response that Moses calls for? Have a look at verse 39. It's going to come up on the screen. And let's say this together. There it is. So let's say this out loud together. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. So this is the first part of the response that Moses calls for. Acknowledge. Know. Take to heart. Lay it on your heart. The Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. As the Israelites are about to go into the promised land, they are to know this truth. They are to lay it on their heart. As we go into another week of work, know this truth and lay it on your heart. God is God. There is no other. Christians doing it tough around the world, being persecuted, being called to deny Christ. May they know this truth and lay it on their heart. In face of opposition, may they be strong. The second part of the response follows in verse 40. It says, keep his decrees and commands which I am giving you today. That goes back to the very first verse of the chapter, doesn't it? It said the same thing. Calling for obedience. Living God's way. Living our life in line with God's will. Not trying to get God's will to match up with ours. Why? Why does it say this? Keep his decrees and commands which I'm giving you today. Why? So that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Again, exactly the same as chapter 4, verse 1. For the Israelites, Moses is laying on them that obedience is important. And what does Jesus say after his claim to have all authority? What is the very next thing that comes out of his mouth? He just said he has all authority on heaven and earth. What is the thing that he says next? He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What does Jesus say? Make disciples. And then he calls for obedience, teaching them to obey everything. See, obedience really matters. It matters for what Moses is saying to the Israelites and for what Jesus then says for us, for his disciples. We're called to follow Jesus, to live His way, to live our life in line with what He says. He doesn't say, know what I commanded you. He doesn't say, study everything that I commanded you. He says, obey everything I commanded you. The Lord is God. There is no other. We are to worship Him. We are to obey Him. And in so doing, there is life. Life is in God and living His way. So for Israel, this obedience, these laws, this is how they were to live in the land. And if they did, what would be the result? If they lived this way, life would be good in the land. It would be abundant. What does Jesus say? In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Now I think I'm just starting to see exactly what this means. What it means to have life in the full. The life that Jesus gives us. It isn't just talking about life to come. The life you can have now in Jesus by living in accordance to what He says. Living in obedience to Him will give you life to the full now. True life is found in God. We can search for it in all sorts of places, but life is found in Him. You want life? You want life to the full? Then walk out of here today in faith, having faith in Jesus, a faith that doesn't just believe, but a faith that obeys. You do that and you will experience God and the life that He promises as we wait for the glory that is to come. Let's pray. Father, how good it is to know You, to be known by You, the only God. You made this world. You chose Israel. You entered the world that You made. You took on flesh. You chose people today to know You through Jesus. May we know and take this to heart, that You are God. There is no other. The Lord Jesus, He deserves our all. Jesus, we thank You. You lay down Your life for us, that we might have life in You. So help us to live this life, to obey, and so truly know this life, which is ours in You. Amen. Well, God invites us to know Him, to have life with Him, to join Him at His table, and it's all made possible through Jesus. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. We're going to sing as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper.